All right, let's take our Bibles, go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Last night, as we kind of kicked off this time together, we went over really starting a series on the matter of wisdom, how to be able to live wisely in this current world, how to lead your family wisely, how to make decisions that are wise decisions. And Ephesians chapter 5 was the text we started with last night in verse 15, where it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly," carefully. "Walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, and redeeming the time because the days are evil." Buying back the time because the days we live in are, and again, the word is porneia, which is the word for pornography, which is it just dripping with sin. And so we need to buy back that time because the days are dripping with sin. So how do we do that? He says in the next verse, "Wherefore be not unwise or careless, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So as we took a little field trip in God's Word, we saw that in 1 Kings chapter 3, when God was working with Solomon and said, "Solomon, here's the wish. Make it. What do you want? You pick it. I'll give it to you. What do you want?" And here comes Solomon. He just becomes king. Dad has passed away. David, he's looking at this and he says, I'm so young. I don't even know how to come in and out. To lead this great nation, I need wisdom." And God said, "If you would have picked, you could have said, 'I want the life of my enemies. I want long life. I want riches.' But because you said you wanted wisdom, I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you everything else." And therefore, now we know that Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. God used him, inspired him to write the book of Proverbs. Now you're listening. That's good. That was like a little review technique I picked up. That he wrote Proverbs. And again, that is a book full of wisdom. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, if you have a heart that says, "I want wisdom," and you look at Proverbs 2, 1 through 11, look what God says he will do if you have a real hunger and desire for it. Proverbs chapter 8 talks about what your life would look like if you had this, if you had wisdom in your life. In fact, if we lack wisdom, he says in James chapter 1 and verse 5, "If you lack wisdom, ask of God, and he'll give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not." 500 times we see the word wisdom used in God's word. So what we're going to look at is saying, okay, a good filter to have when it comes to making decisions, when it comes to the matter of living in this world that is dripping with sin, being able to buy back time. A great question to use would be, what is the wise thing to do? Let's all say that together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. What is the wise thing to do? Now, it couldn't be just a matter of it sounds simple, it sounds easy, but when it comes to the matter of being honest with yourself, courageous enough to ask it, honest enough to answer it, and brave enough to do it, then all of a sudden you'll start to see God working in your life and you making decisions that'll keep you away from regrets. If you're looking for a way to foolproof your life, you can never go wrong following this book. You can never go wrong following God's wisdom. So when we look at that, we break that question down three ways. So if you're in a situation right now and you're saying, "Yeah, this microphone, if I start going, I'm trying to bite it, don't worry about it, I'll be all right. It's like dangling on my ear. It's been a long time since I wore an earring." But anyway, not that long. Anyway, enough about me. So as we look at this and we break it down, we'll say this: okay, what is the wise thing to do based on my past experience? Have I ever been in this situation before? Have I ever faced this before? What is my history? Is my own life as I lived? What's happened in my family background? Is there things in my life based on my past experience? What is the wise thing to do? I have those who've had problems with alcohol. So talking to my sons and my daughter, knowing that all the studies are out there, there are some that drink and become immediately hooked. And I say, you know, we could debate all day long about it, but what is the wise thing to do when we don't know? We're not sure how this works in our family. The wise thing to do based on past experience of our family history: stay away from it. All right? So Then it comes to the matter of, okay, what is the wise thing to do based on my present circumstances? You have a decision to make. Maybe it's a matter of a job. Maybe it's a matter of an investment. Maybe it's a matter of decisions you're making with your family on vacation, and you look and say, okay, financially, based on our present circumstances, financially, what's the wise thing to do? Based on how old my family is right now, I have young children, or I have older children, or we're in our retirement age. Based on my present circumstances, what's the wise thing to do? And then when you look at your life and you say, based on my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? So it's a great filter, and I challenge you to kick it around, be a Berean, look at it and say, is the God's word really say this? I would love for you to come and let's talk about it. But I know for me and my family, this has been a mantra that we have had, that when we talk about it, when we talk about decisions, we're always coming down to it saying, what is the wise thing to do? And remember, we had the filters. So you got the filter of, is it right? Is it morally okay? Is it legal? And then we had the big one. What was the big one last night? What's the one that you say, okay, I get about it. Okay, is it right? Everybody can get around that. Or what's a legal thing to do? I can see the pitfalls of that. What would Jesus do? I mean, there's t-shirts with that on there. I think it's copyright, right? How can you go wrong with that? I had a friend who told me, he said, my parents told me if I can take Jesus with me wherever I go, then it's okay. His problem was how he saw Jesus. And all of a sudden, his mantra was, I was like, but that's not the Jesus of the Bible that you're talking about. And so there's loopholes there. But remember, what was one that could really catch us? What's the one that you could say, okay, they come on this. You can hear this in a lot of teens. If they say what? My heart says, this is okay. I mean, that's what Hallmark is based on, right? It's the heart. What's the heart say? All right, that's the chip aisle for me. No, anyway, again, well, all these testimonies come from. Anyway, as we look at that and say, okay, if we say, what about my heart? My heart says, you know, come on, Pastor Bob. Can you argue with my heart? What's the passage we went to? Say it out loud. Proverbs 28, 26. Everybody turn there. Let's go to Proverbs 28, 26. In Proverbs 28, 26, it says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Let's read that together. Ready? I'll say the reference. Okay, address. Then we read. Then address again. Okay, class? Okay. If you're with me, say ding.
Ding.
Oh, this is going to be sweet. All right, here we go. Ready? Proverbs 28, 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. 28:26. Good job, class. Teacher Bob messed that one up. As we look at this and understand, that was just the introduction. That's what we looked at yesterday. And I'll tell you what, it just seems pretty clear. When it comes to the matter of living for the Lord, doing what God have you to do, and if you have a family that you want to see your family living for the Lord, making right decisions, I really encourage you to take this, examine God's word, and see if you can come away with a better question than this. When it comes to gray areas in your life, when it comes to the time your children become teenagers and they're always questioning why, and you feel like, where's my trump card? Where am I going to just be able to knock them down and just get them? I find that when it came to working with teens, this was always a great discussion. Sometimes hard for them to hear, hard for me to say, had to be patient and walk through it. But it's not about winning. I'm not out to win and, you know, I'll see how great I am. I'm a great parent. I just whooped you, all right? Because the teenager goes, you won this time, but you just lost the war. So taking this patiently and saying, let's walk this through. Let's go, okay, what's the wise thing to do? How old are you right now? How much money do you have? Is this a wise decision? When taking all my kids from Brooke going to work in Michigan, from Ben buying a car, from Jordy looking at his summer of what he was needing to do and how he was needing to work. This became a fun process with my kids. But it became seeds I was planting that when they get older, that they will do it as well. And so with this, we look at this and we go, okay, here it is today. Now we come at this point, so what happens here? What I want to do is talk to you about where you're sitting. What chair are you sitting in? Because if you're not sitting in the wise chair, there's three other chairs you're sitting in. And when it comes to the matter of looking in Scripture, we find three other characters that God talks about, and we're going to talk about these chairs. And the question tonight is, where do you sit? Okay? So let's pray. Father, help us now as we have this time together. Lord, I pray you keep my thoughts following your word, your principles. Lord, I'm so thankful you allowed me to be here to be able to speak to a group of people who desire to see children being coming to the Lord, but also willing to sit through an adult session. Father, I pray this becomes profitable for godliness, that this would be some tools that some would use in here with their families. But Lord, you know the hearts, and maybe there's someone here right now that is just wrestling with this matter of some decisions to make, choices in their lives, and they're hearing counsel, and they just don't know which direction to go. Father, I pray tonight this lesson is one that you can guide, direct by your Holy Spirit, work in hearts, and that we'd follow your will, your word, your way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we look at this, if you will excuse me, I don't have everything memorized, and so I'm going to kind of carry some notes. And if you're good with that, say, I'm good with that. Okay, we know Larry is, and that's helpful. All right? So here we go. As you go along, and we come in here and we look at these three chairs. In the book of Proverbs, we see that there are three characters mentioned in the book of Proverbs, and this is Colonial Hills Baptist Church. You guys have been around for a long time. You guys study your word. So this isn't something I'm going to tell you to go, what? Never heard that before. Most of you already know where I'm going with this, right? How many say, I know where you're going? Raise your hand. Come on, like you had no elbows. Raise your hand. Okay. Right here, as you look at the book of Proverbs, it talks about characters that if you're not the wise son, you're one of these three. Okay? Either you are the simple, the fool, or the scorner. If you're not asking yourself, what's the wise thing to do based on my past experience, my present circumstances, my future hopes and dreams? What would God have me to do? And even to the point that if you say, boy, that question just bugs me, you've learned something about yourself. And if you say, you know what, I don't care about that, then you have just chosen to live a life away from God's principles that's going to cause you challenges. I hope tonight you see this. Because when we come to this, go to Proverbs chapter 7 in your Bibles. Go to Proverbs chapter 7. In here we come to the simple one. And I have the references written down here, so I'm going to go ahead and read from here and help out, because I want to get you guys out of here in the right amount of time for the cookies. Amen? You guys are saying amen at all the wrong things. Okay, here we go. As you look at this in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 6, it says, for at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man, void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way to her house in the twilight and the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with attire of a harlot that was subtle of heart. Right here we see in Proverbs chapter 7, it's almost like Solomon is, he's putting his arm around you and I, and he's on the balcony. He goes, look, see that guy right there? See where he's walking right now? See the direction in, yeah, he's going to that, yeah, he's going to that neighborhood. Look at his face. He's walking as if this is going to be the best time in his life. When it comes to the matter of Bible talking about simple, the simple one is not simple like, I don't know what day it is. That's not the simple it's talking about. The simple it's talking about that one is that is a lack of experience. A one that is, says, Bible says, naive. The one that when it comes to the matter of living their life, it would be, they're saying, well, I don't know anything different. In fact, they would be sitting here going, I don't have any experience that says this is wrong. I mean, I I don't know. I know mom and dad have said, you know, I shouldn't do something like that, but I haven't heard any evidence on that. And so I don't have an experience. So, I mean, is it wrong? I don't know yet. They're the ones that as they live their lives, we can look at in here and in this room right now, are there simple ones here? Possibly. We do know that before we had the dismissal, there were a lot of children here. They were all simple. The teenagers, they can be some simple ones. The majority of them are simple ones. And it's not because it's not a problem. It's just because they haven't been 30 years old. They haven't had that experience yet. They haven't lived a life. That's why sometimes they can get right on the edge of something because they don't have a boatload of experience of regrets. You remember when Funniest Home Videos first came out? You remember when that came out? Loved it. I laughed so hard. Now, I can't watch one. Soon as there's a dad throwing a baseball to a kid, I'm like, got to turn it off. I see a kid on a skateboard, can't watch it. Because my kids all know this. They know whenever there's a blooper, dad, watch this. If he falls down, I'm like, no, don't do that. Yo, what are you doing? Because it was funny when I was younger. People getting hit, falling down. It's hilarious. Well, then I fell down a couple times. Then I had kids that could really hit the ball hard. And it was like, you know, repressed memories coming back. And then it became a time like, oh, I can't handle that. That's why sometimes as parents, we see our kids doing something. We're like, what are you doing? And they're going, what? What? It's not like I'm going to kill myself. Yes, you are. We had a friend over at our house. He had a firearm. I didn't know it. He came in and put it in the cubby because he was like, he brought it in, put it in the cubby. All of a sudden, my sons came around the corner. Look at this, Dad. And I'm like, what? My friend jumped and grabbed that and said, what are you doing? He goes, you guys got to be careful. Well, the only firearms my kids have seen are like airsoft. They're toy guns. All right? Not now. I'm packing. All right? So anyway, kind of. These guns right here. Anyway, as that happened, it was this experience of, what are you doing? But my kids were like going, what, Dad? I wasn't doing anything. It's because they didn't have any experience. They were simple. But when it comes to this point here, right when a person does this and they say, you know, I think I'm simple, they're starting not to be. They're starting to move from this chair. In fact, there can be those that are Christians that have walked with the Lord for a long time and could be up in their 50s and 60s, and in some areas in their life still be simple. Still be kind of going, well, I haven't experienced that before. I don't know. I don't know. And we stay away from God's counsel, and we start looking at our own experience, and we come, and there's this simpleness here. In Proverbs chapter 7, when Solomon is explaining this, and as you go in the chapter, he says, that guy's going to end up, let me tell you where he's going to end up. He can tell by the direction he's going, by who he's going to face, and he lays it all out before it happens. But that young man that is walking there, you know what he's thinking? Best day of my life. He's thinking in 10 years from now, he's going to be sitting around with his friends talking about that day. That's what he thinks. Because he's yet to have that experience. He's yet to experience the fact of walking down a road and just stopping going, I can't believe I did that. He lacks experience. So when you look at that and when the Bible talks about this and say, so how do we get out of this chair? How do I help my young person get out of this chair? It becomes the point in time where they have to realize that they have to call upon the Lord to say, Lord. And in fact, I wrote this down because I thought this prayer would be helpful. Lord, even though I don't understand, agree, or think you are, and I think you're overreacting, I'm going to trust you. Even if I look like an idiot and will stand alone, I will trust you because you are wiser than me. Proverbs 14:15 says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. This is why this person gets as close to the line as possible, and they don't think anything of it because they haven't had that experience before. And if they're not careful and they keep going that direction, they can possibly end up in the next two chairs. In fact, as we come to this chair here, this would be the fool. The fool says things like this in Proverbs 10:23. It is sport to a fool to do mischief. In Proverbs 26:11, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Proverbs 23:9, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. When it comes to the fool is the one that knows the difference between right and wrong. He just doesn't care. I mean, you know, Pastor Bob, I hear what you're saying, and I realize that everything you're talking about, and if I don't live wisely, you know, based on my past experience, my present circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, if I don't do the wise thing, I know that, you know, my marriage is going to have problems. My family is going to be having challenges. I could fall into problems, but I think I can figure it out. But I don't take this personally. I just don't care. I hear what you're saying. I just don't care. I know this could be a challenge. I know I could be a sermon illustration. You might amuse me as a sermon illustration next time you speak someplace, but really, I just don't care. Don't take it personally. I just don't care. This right here is the fool. This is the one that when the Bible talks about how do you get out of this seat. See, the simple can watch the foolish be punished, and the simple will learn. And some of you were like that as teenagers. You maybe had friends, and you saw them get in trouble. You're like, oh, that was enough. You know, my brother, praise the Lord for older brothers, all right? Because I learned things not to do by my brother. And so it took me from this simple one to say, okay, I'm going to learn from that. For the fool, what happens to the fool? How does the fool get out of the chair? How does the fool stop being the fool? Well, if you take your Bibles, I want you to turn over to, let's go to Proverbs 17, verse 10. Proverbs 17, verse 10. The solution for the fool is that he must face the full consequences. And all of a sudden we see when he faces the full consequences, he's starting to come out. It says in Proverbs 17, 10, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Go to Proverbs 19, 29. Judgments are prepared for the scorners, and stripes for the back of fools. In fact, we could even say as we look at the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, that here was a guy that faced the full consequences of his choices. And then he came to himself. Luke 15, 17, a prayer I pray throughout youth ministry and in this time of my life with people I'm working with that just don't care, that all I can do is, Lord, help them come to themselves. To get out of this chair, they'll need to face the full consequences. But let me give you something else. Let me tell you about this guy right here. This guy right here, the fool, in some ways he's kind of fun. Sometimes you can have a friend that's a fool. They just do stupid stuff. And you're just like, what? I can't believe the stuff they do. This might be one of your kid's friends. That you're like, yeah, you know, he's a funny kid, she's a funny kid, but I don't know if they have a heart for God, but boy, is it really that bad? Keep this in mind that if your child has a friend like this, go to Proverbs 13:20. Go to Proverbs 13:20. Because here's one more consideration for the fool. It says, he that walketh with the wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be what? Destroyed. Parents, grandparents, friends, from an old youth pastor's heart, watching teens, good teens. But they just had some companions that were fools. And unfortunately, even as I'm talking, Pastor and I can probably, there's certain names that come up, that it was the fact of a friend they had that was a fool that led them down some steps. So that right there is the matter of the fool. You have the simple one. Just lacks experience. I've never been in this place before, but is it the wise thing to do? I don't know. I haven't had that experience yet. They're the ones that say, Lord, no matter what I might think and how foolish I might feel, I'm going to trust your word, your will, your way. I'm going to be obedient to you. They get out of this chair. For the one that keeps on going, unfortunately, and maybe some of you in here know of somebody who was a fool, and they face full consequences, and it woke them up. And it gets them out of this chair. But then we have the scorner. The scorner is the one, when the scorner sits in this chair, they say, it's exactly what I thought a Baptist person would say. You're so judgmental. You think you know the answers to everything. What's the wise thing to do? Give me a break. This is the one that is critical, careless, and judgmental. When you look at the scorner, it says in Proverbs 13 and verse 1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. As you look at the matter of the scorner, it talks about the one that's like you take a dog by the ears. And the scorner is the one that can spot out the hypocrites. It's the one that is judge, jury of everybody. And if you have a friend like this, it's the one that it's just on pins and needles. I don't know what they're going to say, how they're going to react. It's just going to, this is going to be a challenge. As you look on the matter, and how many here use a digital device to study your Bible? Raise your hand, okay? If you can do a word search in that, I would challenge you to do a word search on these three words. Knock down your search just to Proverbs and read all those verses on the matter of the scorner. The scorner is the one the more success they have, the worse it can be. Because they feel they can judge everybody. But the thing is, when you look at Proverbs and you try to find, okay, what is the way to get out of this chair? How can I get out of this one? Proverbs doesn't say anything about it. There's not a remedy for the one who gets to the scorner, except for the grace of God that wakes up their heart. When it comes to these three chairs, and you look at this and you say, okay, if you're not a person who's saying, what is the wise thing to do and trying to live by wisdom, all of a sudden you're facing these three chairs. All right, but maybe you're sitting here saying, well, you know, come on, you're talking to Colonial Hills Baptist Church. I mean, your old boss is our pastor. You know better than us. You know what we're getting. We're getting the word. We're getting principles to live by. Yeah, I know. And when you look at this, see, the real tragedy is, like, we can talk about the immediate thing, but the real tragedy is in the long term. Because one of these days, the people sitting in this chair, they're going to need wisdom. They're going to come to that point of going, boy, should I marry her? Should I marry him? What should I do about my job? What decision should I make here? And all of a sudden, the whole time they scorned what was the wise thing to do. Now they're coming to the point they need wisdom. They start living their lives and the wheels are falling off and they're realizing life isn't working. They're trying to unscramble some eggs. They're trying to make sense of life and they're trying to figure out, and all of a sudden there's no voice. Because the real tragedy is, one of these days, these people here will need wisdom. Take your Bibles, go to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Proverbs 1 and verse 20. as they get here and they start to say, I need wisdom. They're trying to change the repercussions. They're trying to unscramble some eggs. They are facing more of a crisis than they imagined. The wheels are falling off. They're beginning to see that life isn't working. And here's what God says. And listen to this. Verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth a word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When the distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall be cut. They shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. All of a sudden we hear wisdom saying, what's the wise thing to do? As we see this and we look at the real tragedy as long term, and I think we all understand this, but now comes the question I asked you at the beginning. Where are you sitting? He said, we're at Colonial Hills. Come on, I'm like in before the 10th row, and I never do that ever. So I'm like yearning for wisdom, right? But is there an area in your life, where you refuse counsel? Is there an area of your life that you sit and go, well, I don't know. I've never been here before. I don't know. That happened to somebody else, not me. And all of a sudden you don't listen to counsel. Maybe you're having your devotions. You don't miss church. But maybe there's an area in your life where you say, you know, that subject there, I get it. I hear what the Bible says. I'm good everywhere else. I just don't care. I know it's a big deal to you. I know. But I think I can figure this out. I think the bridge is out, but when I get to it, I can figure a way over. Or are you sitting in the scorner chair on certain subjects? This one has surprised me. Those I've known that have walked with the Lord, but there might be a certain area in their life where they snap. Has to do maybe with a family history, a relationship that has gone wrong, and everything's fine, and then that name comes up, and I will never talk to that person. You're like, yeah, you know, from Curly, yeah. What? How did that come from? And all of a sudden it comes out that, see, as we look at this, and as we're talking about this, listen, I'm not dumb. If you're here, I really understand. You guys want wisdom. You're really looking to see how can I honor the Lord? How can I lead my family? And I'll tell you, this is a great question. What is the wise thing to do based on your past experience, your present circumstances, your future hopes and dreams? But when you look at all the areas in your life, is there a time when God's word is shared with you and all of a sudden you find yourself in a moment, in a place where you're sitting in one of those chairs? This is when I ask you to come back and I say, okay, are you just listening to your heart? Is it a matter of it comes down to that and it's, you know, Bob, I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're talking about. But right now, my heart is saying that I think I'm okay. And then we go back to Proverbs 28:26. He who follows his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. When it comes to the matter of living wisely, you've got to humble yourself before the Lord. Proverbs 15:33 says, before honor is humility. And sometimes asking the question, what is the wise thing to do, can be a humbling answer. But when God leads in that way, it is the best answer. If we choose to live a life of saying, okay, what is the wise thing to do? Then we choose to bring God's principles in our life. If we refuse that, then we start setting our life up for regret. Take your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15 and Luke chapter 16 comes some amazing stories. Sometimes we don't tie these together, but I think there's something that does tie these two characters together that is interesting. Because you remember the story of the prodigal son. And the prodigal son, he's, many times, what do we talk about? He takes all this, he takes his inheritance, he spends it on riotous living, and that is just bad stuff. Just throws his money away. Then all of a sudden he's destitute. And then he's right there, he's feeding the pigs. Many times we say, and he ate the pig slop. He didn't eat it. He didn't eat it. He smelled it. He's thinking about it. He's so hungry, he's thinking, I'm going to eat this. I'll tell you, when I was younger, my dad always said, Dad, make me a hamburger. Make me a hamburger. I mean, if I could live at McDonald's, I wish I could have. And some of you say, well, I think you had that dream. But anyway, I come to Dad, and he's like, now, if you're really hungry, you'll eat a Braunschweiger sandwich. And I was like, and I remember one time, I'm like, Dad, I'm so hungry, I'll eat a Braunschweiger. I didn't know what Braunschweiger was. I didn't know what Braunschweiger was until I was at Trinity. And somebody said, it's liver-based. I went, what? It was liver-based? I thought it was like you bought it in like 5-gallon tubs at Lowe's or something like that. It's this liver-based. My dad loved liver, and he made this. I ate it. I was like, oh. I was thinking, I'm not that hungry anymore. And when it comes to that time with the prodigal son, he's standing there, and you can't think of the fact that he is so hungry, he's ready to eat it. I did meet a prisoner of war in Japan, or in the Philippines, and he told me, he said the day he was, I was caught, and it's an amazing story, and he said there was a rat that would come through my cage. He said, finally, I was ready. He said, I was starving, but I was never hungry enough to eat it. He said, I remember the day I thought, I'm going to kill this rat, and I'm going to eat it. He said, I was so hungry. He said, that's the day they came in freedom. It was an amazing story, but I've never met anybody who is that hungry. When the prodigal son does that, all of a sudden he goes, wait a minute. In chapter 15 and verse 17, you ought to underline that phrase. He comes to himself. It is a great prayer to pray for those that you're concerned about that are fools or scorners, even simple ones. Lord, help them to come to themselves. Because when he came to himself, it's just not the matter. I mean, he goes to that phrase going, hey, what am I doing? What am I doing? And what does he say? He says, you know, I'm my father. He's got servants. What am I doing here? He has a great thought. He heard some great things. He had a great idea. But all he had at that time, he didn't have change. He just had a feeling. This is my dad. Look what my dad has. It wasn't until he said, I'm going to go, and I'm going to do this. He had the plan. And then the verse says he went. And he did what he needed to do. He thought this, what is the wise thing to do? What are my present circumstances right now? What is my dad? How has he lived his past experience of what my dad has and what he's done? And he asked himself, what is the wise thing to do? And then he comes to himself. These chairs right here, and you and I in different decisions, we need to stay close to God and constantly say, Lord, help me to think what is the wise thing to do. Help me to ask it, be brave enough to ask it, honest enough to answer it, and courageous enough to do it. Because there is going to be a time where you're going to come to yourself. These guys right here, those that sit here, one day will come to themselves. Either it's going to be this moment like the prodigal son, what am I doing? Or in Luke 16, when the rich man, and Jesus says there was this rich man, And he had this idea of, I'm going to build up all this. And he didn't know that he was going to be in eternity. And when he wakes up and he's in hell, he comes to himself. And then everything is clear. And now it's too late. So either we're going to come to ourselves sooner or later. When it comes to the matter of working with your children, working with your family, I encourage you, as you go through a study like this and work through it and get the conversation going about wisdom, they need it. It's not in the matter of sometimes you say, well, the stuff they're talking about is wrong. Well, sometimes it can answer itself saying, this is not the time. You're not in a circumstance right now. We're not saying you can't. We're saying just not now. It's not the wise thing to do. But I'll tell you, when it comes to these that sit in these chairs, they are going to come to themselves sooner or later. What about you? Is there an area of your life right now that you've been receiving counsel and you're kind of pushing it back? And you say, well, I've been walking with the Lord for a long time, but all of a sudden wisdom is coming to you. And you, before that, you find yourself either saying, yeah, I don't know, it could be different for me, or I just don't care. Or, you know what? If you've been walking with the Lord as long as I have, you wouldn't even ask me that question. Where do you sit? So when it comes to decisions you make, when it comes to choices that we have, a great question is, what is the wise thing to do? Based on your past circumstance, your past experience, your present circumstance, and your future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? And also to be able to look and say, where am I sitting now? Where are my children sitting now? How can I help them? And I'll tell you, pray that they come to themselves and take that step of seeing what God has for us is better than anything else, than anything we could buy. The life He offers us, you can't buy it. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the time in Your Word. And Lord, I thank You for how You put in the book of Proverbs some characters there that we can examine, that we can study, that we can read. And Lord, I pray that You would encourage, maybe there's some here that they're still wondering about this, that they would be Bereans, that they would take these verses, take the fool, the simple, and the scorner, look at it themselves, and see how many times You encourage us, challenge us, cry out for us to do the wise thing. Father, help us not to follow our heart, our feelings, because even Your Word says the person who does that is a fool. But help us to experience the deliverance that You offer by walking wisely. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.